Thanks for inviting me into your home, your long-haul truck, RV, camper, taxi, your parents' well-appointed basement with the simulated wood paneling, electric fireplace, and the painting of dogs playing poker, your loft, that greasy spoon just off the interstate, and your cabin in the woods. Welcome to Coast AM, the very best in late-night talk radio. I'm Richard Serrett, sitting in for George Norrie. And tonight, this morning, I'm coming to you live from the home studio in Old Thornhill Village, just north of Toronto. There was nobody quite like Meatloaf. The wild-eyed Texan performer born Michael Lee Adey in 1947 died Thursday, reportedly ill with COVID. Meatloaf was doubted by his early critics, but he beat the odds, and Bat Out of Hell, of course, remains one of the best-selling albums of all time. And when Meatloaf wasn't busy conquering the music industry, he made film appearances in classics like the Rocky Horror Picture Show and Fight Club, becoming one of the most recognizable icons of the 20th century. A little-known fact about Meatloaf: he once claimed that the Secret Service hijacked his car on the day of JFK's assassination. That's right. According to one story in his autobiography, a frenzied Secret Service agent hijacked his car in a mad rush to get to a Parkland Memorial Hospital, of course, where the mortally wounded president was taken. Meatloaf gone, but no doubt still rocking somewhere at the age of 74. Coming up this hour, the return of Canada's Edgar Casey, the last of the sleeping prophets, remote viewer, clairvoyant, spiritual healer, and expert in the study of consciousness, Douglas James Cottrell. And together, we'll conduct what I believe will be our fourth remote viewing experiment, live on the air on Coast to Coast AM and across North America. And Douglas will also offer up some of his visions and predictions for 2022. Coming up in the second half, undoubtedly the most enchanting, engrossing, captivating, compelling, at times frightening, fantastical, spellbinding, and wonderfully strange 2 hours of radio to be heard anywhere or anytime, open line. So bring your A material, practice in front of the mirror, and then you'll tell me all about it 2 hours from now. But right now, another Friday night Coast tradition. Here's news editor for the Coast to Coast AM website, as well as the host of the pioneering paranormal podcast, Banal of America, Tim Banal. Hey, Tim, how are you?
I'm doing well, Richard. How are you? Happy belated New Year.
Yes, this is the cutoff. We can't say it. Happy New Year. Any after today. You run into someone in mid-August you haven't seen all year, you do not say Happy New Year.
That's right.
You got in just under the wire, my friend. All right. So, Turkmenistan, they've got an interesting little tourist attraction over there called the Gates of Hell Crater. Tell me about it.
Yes. Yeah, I had never heard of this before. We posted this one up last week, but I wasn't on the show last Friday, so I wanted to save it for tonight. So, it is the Gates of Hell. It is a massive fiery crater that is in sort of a desert area of Turkmenistan. And earlier this month, the president of Turkmenistan, who's an autocrat, dictator, sort of a strongman leader, and I know you've credited me for pronouncing names before. I'm not even going to try with this one. So we'll just say the president of Turkmenistan. He decreed that he wants this inferno within the crater to be extinguished. And the interesting part about this whole story is this crater has been on fire. No one really knows when in the fire started, how the crater was formed. There's this apocryphal story about Russian miners trying to extract natural gas from the area that created the crater, but now they say that's probably not the story at all, and no one really knows how it came about, how the fire started. They just know it's been burning for several decades. It's in a natural gas field, and he wants them to put it out, and he says that they're losing valuable natural resources, and it's negatively affecting the environment and the health of the people living nearby. Although if you look at a picture, the picture we have at the Coast website, it's in the number three spot, it doesn't look like there's a lot of people living nearby the Gates of Hell crater. And so he has put out this decree. He wants them to extinguish the Gates of Hell, which is kind of self-defeating, I think, in a way, because it is probably Turkmenistan's most popular tourist attraction. because people go there to check out this really bizarre-looking crater. And before anyone sheds a tear for the gates of hell, this is actually the second time he has made this decree, because back in 2010, he said the same thing. He ordered it to be put out, and apparently they couldn't figure out how to do it. So, you know, it's a lot harder to close the gates of hell than we thought, I guess.
That goes without saying. And I've got a tip for the president. Are you ready for this? The president of Turkmenistan, Gurbanguly Berdimuhamedov. I've been practicing.
Whoa.
I've been practicing. What he needs.
Nice.
What he needs, Tim, is the world's largest marshmallow for roasting.
There you go. Well, that would bring in a lot of tourists, too. That would be.
That's it. There you go.
Largest marshmallow roast. Yeah.
From the world's largest marshmallow roast to the world's largest potato. Tell us about this remarkable spud.
I love this story. Now, so we reported on this giant potato back in November. It was unearthed from a garden in New Zealand. It's a whopping 17 pounds. And it is believed to be the world's largest potato. And much to my surprise, because, you know, I write these stories all the time, and it's like, I did not expect to see the world's largest potato return to my field of vision this week, but there it was. And what's interesting, it's very enlightening, because, you know, all over the years I've written a lot of these stories, and you always write these things, it's the world's largest this, or it's the world's largest that. And this was kind of like a follow-up, where it's like, okay, so you've got the world's largest thing, what happens next? How do you claim that title? And the New Zealand couple who unearthed this 17-pound potato, they were like, okay, we want credit. We want the record. So now they've gone back to the media to sort of lament that this has become an unending series of challenges and obstacles put in their way from Guinness. And they said they sent them photos. They sent them videos. They had an expert examine the 17-pound potato and even did a public weighing. And you would think that would be enough to claim the credit, but no. Guinness wants them to send them a piece of the potato so that it can be DNA tested to confirm that it's a genuine potato.
And time well spent.
The husband in the couple, he says it's a roller coaster of emotion. I can only imagine.
Yes, I'm on pins and needles here.
Yeah, a roller coaster of emotion over the world's largest potato. And he said the required DNA test, extremely deflating, which he said. And he said he's wondering, do they think I'm cheating? Do they think this is some kind of genetically modified potato? So he's kind of rubbed the wrong way by all this. So he said, I'll send you the piece of the potato. We're gonna settle this one way or the other and claim the record or not. So that is the saga of the world's largest potato. Like I said, I did not expect to see this massive spud pop up in the news again, but there it was this week.
Well, why not take the world's largest potato, take it to the gates of hell, to the world's largest fire pit, and make the world's largest baked potato?
There you go. See?
They're just
solving problems. We're solving the world's problems here.
That's why we're here. That's why we're here. Tell me, this is kind of close to home. This is up near our nation's capital in Ottawa, Manotick. This woman sitting atop a car, standing on top of her car as it slowly sinks beneath the frozen Rideau River in Ottawa. Tell us about her.
Yeah. I knew I was going to be on with you tonight. So when I saw this story, I said, "Okay, this is we're putting this one right in the till here for Richard on Friday because this is right, sort of in his neck of the woods." So Canada, up in Canada, this woman, you kind of explained already, but the people who live near the Rideau River last Sunday afternoon, much to their profound surprise and consternation, they look out on the river and there's this yellow sedan flying down the frozen river, just whipping down the frozen river, what they believe was 40 miles per hour. And this is all, if folks go to the Coast to Coast AM website, there's video of all this. It's in the number one spot on the carousel. You can see this little yellow car just flying down this frozen river. Eventually, the unnamed driver, she stops, and the ice cannot support this car. And it breaks through the ice, and it begins slowly sinking into the freezing water. And all the people living around, they've noticed that they're watching this unfold because this is very bizarre, of course. And they say, "Oh no, this woman's sinking." So they kind of put their heads together, and they get a kayak, and they head out to rescue her from the predicament, because otherwise she's going down with the sedan. And the weirdest part of the story is, so they get out to the woman, and she's clambered onto the top of the car, and you can see it in the video. She's standing on the back of the car as it's half underwater, and they're like, "Get in the boat, get in the boat. You're about to sink." And she's like, "Hold on." Climbs up and then takes a selfie while she's on top of the car.
Unbelievable! Unbelievable!
Yeah, and they cannot believe it. And the guy said as he's sitting here, "What are you doing? Get in the boat." And she said, "Oh, I'm just having fun, and I'd totally do that again." So yeah, she got in a little trouble for unsafe operation of a motor vehicle, but she's got a picture for the ages, I guess.
And the word that you used in the article, nonchalant. I love that word, nonchalant.
Yes, she was very nonchalant. Yeah, it was just completely not a problem that her car is sinking into this frozen river and she has seconds to escape this predicament. She's just, "Hold on now, let me take a selfie." Just what a sign of the times, right?
Exactly. You know who's also very nonchalant, Tim?
Who's that?
Gurbin Guly Berdy Muhammadov. There you go.
I doff my cap to you tonight on that one, Richard. You really surprised me there with that one. I threw in the towel as soon as I saw that name as I was getting ready to go on the air. I was like, no, we're not going to go there. So a very pleasant surprise. Thank you.
Always great talking to you, Tim. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Richard. Have a great weekend.
You too. Tim Banal, news editor of the coasttocoastam.com website. All right. Another remote viewing experiment and prophecies for 2022. Douglas James Cottrell is next. Welcome to the Audio Imaginarium. Come on in, weary traveler. Hang your cloak on a peg. Grab a stool and come gather around the fire. There are stories to be told, and you are among friends. I'm Richard Serrett, sitting in for George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Why don't you stay a while? Welcome back. Richard Serrett, sitting in for George Norrie. Say hello on Twitter at Richard Serrett, S-Y, because I love you, R-E-double-T. Douglas James Cottrell is best known as a trans clairvoyant. He's a spiritual healer, teacher, and published author who demonstrates many abilities studied by noetic sciences, the study of consciousness, including clairvoyance, telepathy, energy healing, remote viewing, prediction, and prophecy. He's one of a select few able to demonstrate all of these abilities. He teaches people the world over about spiritual development through the practice of meditation and the application of spiritual principles in daily life. He's the author of numerous books, including Secrets of Life, The Complete New Age Health Guide, Gems of Wisdom, Conversations with the Akashic Field, and The New Earth, A Prophetic View of Our Future. Hey, Douglas, welcome back to Coast. How are you?
It's a pleasure to be here, my friend.
Always great to have you. We're going to begin with a remote viewing experiment this hour, and then in the second hour, we'll do some prophecies and predictions for 2022. So give us a quick crash course in remote viewing, and then I'll get you to describe, that's going to be our job, myself and our listeners, but just tell us a little bit about where you are and where the object is that we're going to try and identify, the hidden object.
Well, okay. In previous times when we've been on the show, we had an object on my desk, which the object is right now, and your control room has a picture of the object that we will put up on someplace, a website or whatever, that the folks out there looking at the object can compare what they saw. But last time I learned something, and that was you were looking at the top of the lamp that I had illuminating the object. So you were had a position of looking down from above, like my ceiling, and you were describing the round surface of my lamp and the color, and you could see little holes through where the it was venting in the top. And I was kind of dumbfounded because it ended up to be the mystery object was a patch, a shoulder patch. So I learned from that I cannot have anything in between above, viewing from above on the object. So I've cleared my desk off. I have it sitting all by itself, and I have it illuminated with the lamp neatly off to the side. So if you drop into my office like you've done, You might see it's a little messy. I'm one of those guys that have books and papers everywhere, but I managed to have a clear slate on the desk. So it's a simple object this week. I mean, you've looked at, if we can recount a little bit of the objects you've seen before, there was a round travel clock that was kind of an orangey-red color, and you saw it as a donut. You saw it as a reddish-orange color. We had some other objects. The airplane that comes to mind, it was on a stand. It was all one color, metal, and you could see, eventually you saw little bits of it, and you were looking around, and through the time we were examining, you increased the view, and then all of a sudden at the end you said, it's an airplane. And that was amazing. Some of the audience members, they could see the propeller on it. It was actually one of those World War II planes with a three-propped engine model, if you will. And somebody saw it as a helicopter. Somebody else saw it as a long, slender thing. Somebody else saw it like a tower. And I was thinking, they're coming into forming it in their mind's eye, which is the intention of remote viewing. I have a course coming up in a couple of weeks in February the 19th to teach people how to do remote viewing. Talk about more about that later. But the idea is that if you can see a bit of it, that's a hit. And if you can see it manifesting in your mind's eye, like you have done, anybody who wants to go back in a record and check these experiments, they will see you gradually allowing this to manifest in your mind's eye, which is what we're looking at. You're not seeing things with your eyes. You're seeing things with your mind's eye, which allows almost like the old-time photographs where they were put in solution and they gradually over a few minutes form the picture on the paper that was in the solution. This is the same way in the mind's eye. It comes when you're learning how, when you're beginning, it's like a developing picture. It's kind of like coming out of the ethers. It's manifesting in the sands of time, if you will. And then it becomes somewhat a shape, a color, a distinctive shapes. And then ultimately it manifests, and just like a snapshot of a picture, there it is. So the object tonight, it's a simple object. It's no bigger than a softball. It is a single color. And the reason I'm saying that is not to give you any hints, but the intellectual mind needs some parameters. You know, when remote viewers are given a task or a target, they're looking for something. They're given a location, and they're said, go and look for this kind of thing. That satisfies the intellectual mind. It allows the curiosity or the imagination to blend, and it starts the process of forming in the mind's eye a shape which manifests, it solidifies, if you will, until ultimately you see the object. So here we are. I'm in London, Ontario, Canada. It's minus 22 degrees Celsius right here, but I'm in my nice warm office, my sweater on. I'm doing well, and it's about 1:30 in my morning here. So if I don't fall asleep during this session, we'll be okay. But tonight, we're going to see if you can once again use your remarkable RV view, because you have been not to put any pressure on you or try to make this, you know, anything more than what it is. You have been remarkably good at what you've done while you are conducting a radio show broadcasting across the nation. That's amazing in itself, because what that means is you're able to set the intellectual mind, the personality mind aside, and allow that intuitive mind to manifest. And I found people who, like yourself, are very creative, have see things in their mind's eye, and work with that inspiration or that intuition that brings those ideas and inventions and creation to mind. That's the mind we're looking for. And I'm going to premise it by saying people who cannot see in their mind's eye are feelers and dowsers, and they have a touch clairsentient ability. But people who can see in their mind's eye have a clairvoyant ability, clear seeing. And it's important when you're remote viewing to be able to see in your mind's eye. If you have dreams and you've had a dream that's come true, that means you're able to perceive the future. if you have a feeling or a sense that something was about to happen, and then it did, you are also perceiving the future. And
Douglas,
if you just absolutely know something in your head and it happens, that means you perceive the future again. So you're all working with that intuitive mind.
Douglas James Cottrell stays with us. Our remote viewing experiment, our fourth right here on Coast to Coast AM. Get your pads of paper and a pencil and get ready to remote view this object hidden from view on Douglas Cottrell's desk in London, Ontario, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And we are in the midst of our fourth remote viewing experiment here on Coast to Coast AM with Douglas James Cottrell, trans clairvoyant, spiritual healer, teacher, last of the sleeping prophets, douglasjamescottrell.com, the website. I don't know, maybe I had too much coffee today. I'm not trying to make excuses, but I got a bit of a monkey mind. It's all over the place. And so I'm sitting here with my pad of paper and my pen, and I'm making ovals or spheres. That just keeps coming through. Spheres.
Wow. You're making ovals.
Ovals or spheres, yeah.
Wow.
That's what I'm getting.
Wow.
And obviously, we're on the honor system. I haven't seen this object. You have sent our webmaster Ryan Stacey tonight has the image, a picture of the image or a picture of the object. He'll be posting it up at coasttocoastam.com at the top of the hour, and we'll invite callers as well. So that's where I'm at right now. It's spherical.
Richard, you know, like you're really getting good. I mean, I teach people how to do this, and you know what I'm doing on air here. Right now is I don't think anybody else does this this RV, you know, sort of experiment and teaching the audience and in the way I do, because I know it so well. I mean, I'm good at what I do because I've been doing it for more than 50 years. And as I said, I started the parameters and, you know, I'm impressed. We haven't even got into the experiment yet, so to speak. And you're doing exceptionally well. I don't want to take it away from the audience because, you know, last time, I think I'll do the same. I'll offer a free copy of my one of my books. I think we'll do the one about conversations with the Akashic Field. That's a number one seller. But whoever in the audience can come up with, and you be the judge, who can come up with their input, their vision, their remote view of this object, you know, you judge and we'll send the book off. Last time there was a lady who couldn't see properly, and she won it. She was, if you remember, she was exceptionally good at what she saw, even though she couldn't see with her physical eyes. And so to start off the show tonight, wow, you know, your monkey mind is working overtime, but I think it's in conjunction with your elephant mind here because you're doing really well. So I made it a simple object because the objects we used before, I try to have a specific shape, a color, because I know when people are starting out, if they want to know the truth and if they want to learn how to remote view and you want to know who's telling the truth or in the political world, you want to find out the facts or at least get a good impression that's your way so you can, you know, sort of walk through the BS and find out what the fact is. Remote viewing is the way to do it. And then also this spills over into dreams. And your dreams will be revelation dreams where you'll be able to see things clearly. That's what I do, and that's what we're going to talk about, some of these predictions I've been making. Most of them are from dreams. But right now, to the audience, it's Richard is pretty close. And I want you now to, I'm looking at it. It's been sitting on my desk the whole time, actually before the show started. It's a single color, it's a single shape, and there's more detail on it. And if you can pick up the detail, the shape, the color, the size, that is, any one of those is a hit. But Richard has, in the past, mulled it over in his mind. He's doing it right now. He's trying to figure it out. He's trying to get the color. I can see that in your mind. And all of a sudden, you're going to go, ta-da, at least I hope you are. So here we are in the middle of a show. We're talking to people all across the nation. And you're honing right in on it. That's impressive. But again, people can learn how to do this. And I can help them, you know, I can give them the steps to do it, but they have to practice. And
well, as you say, I've had some.
That's amazing. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I've had some limited success, and one of the greatest challenges is getting your intellectual mind out of the way.
That's right.
You've got to get that out of the way, and then you have to allow the object to slowly come into focus rather than just say, oh, it's a banana, or it, you know, you've got to see the first texture, you know, write things down if it helps, and sketch things, write down impressions that come into your mind, and trust it. Trust those impressions that are coming through. Don't be dismissive, because that's the intellectual mind doing that, right?
That's excellent advice. Pardon me. That's excellent advice. The first thing that comes to mind is what you go with. This is one of the secrets of remote viewing. Your intellectual mind makes deductions. It calculates. It tries to reason. Those are all the enemy of the intuition. What you want to do is trust your mind, which is the intuitive mind is much more powerful, and the noetic sciences have proven that. So the first thing that comes to your mind, although it might be a dot, it might be a rough image, your advice is to say, stick with it. Excellent advice, Richard. Stick with it. Allow it to develop, and then spit it out. Put it down as ridiculous or silly or disjointed or what might not fit. That's what you go with. Now, again, the intellectual mind's trying to figure it out. And so you got to say, no, I don't care. I'm disinterested. I have no ego here. It either is what I'm going to see, or I'm not going to see anything. I don't really care. I'm disinterested is a better way to say that. And that will allow you to open your mind up. You know, when you're trying to write you're really trying to write something and your mind's working, you just can't do it. You sort of get, you know, gridlock in your mind. At least I do. So I go and I distract myself. I have a coffee. I come back and I sit down and I start again. And that's what I want you to do, my friends out there. If you're getting so hard, you can touch your eyebrows and you can feel that wrinkling in your above your nose and in your forehead. You're uptight. Stop. Take a break. Wipe the slate clean and come back and actually touch your forehead. If you can feel wrinkles in the skin on your between your eyes, then you're trying too hard. Best to let it flow. The intuition, the intuitive mind is extremely powerful. It knows exactly what the object is, where it is, and it's listening to my voice and I'm looking at the object. It's picking up on what this object is right now. So as you allow it to mull over, Richard's given you a really exceptionally good advice. Draw it, doodle it out, and even if it doesn't make sense, go with it. I mean, I once was on a show where you had something in a package, and I said, it looks like two triangles stuck together. And you were wondering why people couldn't see clearly. And I said, because it's dark in there. It was in a cardboard box. You remember that?
I do. I remember.
And so I said, you got to take it out of the box. That's why I have, again, because, you know, not to pat myself on the back, but I know what I'm doing. And that's why it's in the open. It's well lit. And here you are. I'm just surprised that it wasn't 3, 2, 1. And there you were coming up with some pertinent detail.
All right. So here's my other impression. And people are starting to call in. And Gene, I'm going to get you real busy here, because if you could put them on hold after their call and maybe take down their email. And that way we'll go back and we'll decide, you know, who is going to walk away with a copy of Conversations with the Akashic Field, the bestseller from Douglas James Cottrell. The other impression I'm getting is it's kind of maybe contradictory, but on the one hand, I'm getting something kind of dimpled, mostly smooth. Mostly smooth, but somewhat dimpled.
Oh, Richard, you're amazing.
Okay, and I'm not quite sure, because the other thing I'm getting are almost like stripes, but I don't think that's it. That came into my head, but I think it's mostly smooth, but somewhat dimpled.
That's right.
Okay, that's what I'm getting. Now, almost from the get-go, the color, and all my hits here may go for naught because it may go south here, but the color I'm getting is kind of a yellowish white.
I'm not going to say no.
Okay. All right. So that's what I'm getting. I'm getting spherical, yellowish white, mostly smooth, but somewhat dimpled.
And yellowish white.
Yeah, yellowish white. Yellowish white.
Okay. What does the audience have to say? That's very
all right. Let's good. Find out. Okay, we're going to go first east of the Rockies, and Bill is in Massachusetts. Bill, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good, thanks, Bill. What are you seeing?
I see one of those globes that you shake up with the snow inside, with a little Santa Claus, and it's on a stand. That's what I see.
A snow globe?
A snow globe, yes.
Okay.
Hmm. That's partial. It's not a snow globe, but you got the shape right.
All right. Gene, if you could get his email just in case, we'll see who comes closest and we'll award a copy of that book. Let's see. Let's go to Alice is in Illinois. Alice on the wildcard line. Welcome to Coast.
Hi. I know mine's wrong. I had the Queen of Clubs.
The Queen of... Oh, you had a playing card, the Queen of Clubs.
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything in there, Douglas, that may have spurred Alice to see the Queen of Clubs?
Well, sorry, Alice. The Queen of Clubs, a flat object, and nope.
Okay. Thank you anyway for playing, Alice.
I'm trying not to. I'd like to be more specific, Alice, but I'm waiting for the other callers. I don't want to give it away too much, but... no.
Okay, well, just stay tuned. Stay tuned for the big reveal here.
I'm looking around my desk to see if there's anything that's flat and like the shape of a clubs. And behind my computer, I have a hard drive, an external one that is that shape. It looks like a card, but that's tucked under my computer, far away. You might be picking that up, Alice, but it's not the object itself.
All right. Let's see. Gordon is in Plant City, Florida tonight. Gordon, hello. Welcome to Coast.
Richard, Douglas, good evening or good morning, whatever. Before y'all even got going, and I knew it was one of them guessing games, I kind of got an image of a brown wallet, and so that's my guess.
A brown wallet.
Wow. On my show earlier tonight, we had somebody who had a brown wallet in his hand. So you might be picking that up, my friend, but nope, not close.
All right. That was, yeah, you were picking up. That happens, doesn't it? People pick up objects from earlier in the day.
You did it. We did a show where we had the mystery object, and somehow you saw the picture, and I left the mystery object on my desk at home when I went to my office with a new, different mystery object. And several of the listeners, God bless them, they were picking up that object on my desk in my home, and they were seeing a square Rubik's cube, which was the object. And we had an ambulance, a little dinky toy ambulance, on my desk. And so some of the audience saw that Rubik's cube, which was sitting on a brown desk, the same as in my office. I was astounded. That was the double blind test, where people were seeing the original object that was supposed to be used on the show. And they even, the pictures had been sent to Boris or somebody there, and ready to go. Unfortunately, you got to see the pictures. We had to change the object the last minute. It's true. This man could be seeing earlier in the day the brown wallet that somebody else had in their hand.
All right. Let's go to the international line quickly. Kathy's in Winnipeg, Canada. Kathy, welcome to Coast.
Hi.
Hi there. What do you see? An egg holder. Interesting. An egg holder, Douglas.
It's not an egg holder.
Is there anything with the shape that might have led Kathy to see an egg holder?
From a certain perspective, the egg holder could be sort of the shape. But it's egg holder has a hole in it. And you know what? I'm looking at it, and when this lady sees it later, she must have her eye right on top of this object. To get it to be exaggerated like that. I'm going to say it's not an egg holder, but from a certain perspective, it could pass. The shape could pass.
All right. Well, let's put Kathy on hold and take her email just in case. So let me proceed here in the dying moments of hour one, our remote viewing experiment. Douglas James Cottrell with us. I don't know. Again, it's I'm seeing this yellowish white spherical, but now what I'm seeing is maybe slightly tapered at one end. Maybe slightly tapered at one end.
No, you were closer.
Okay.
If you're looking from above, you could see, you know, it's not tapered at one end. I'm just going to say it that way, no.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm just going to come out and say it because so when I put all this stuff together, yellowish white, spherical, mainly smooth but somewhat dimpled, I'm thinking, here we go, like a fruit, maybe a grapefruit.
So do you want the rest of your audience to take a few more shots at it, or do you want me?
Let's do one more quickly. Edward is in Fresno, California. Edward, welcome.
Hi. I believe it's a baseball. That's very close, but it's not a baseball. Very close, but not a baseball.
All right. Let's see. One more real quick. Do we have one more? No, I think we're... Let's see here. Let's try one more. Mark is in Red Bluff, California. First-time caller. Mark, welcome.
Yeah. How you doing, James?
Richard and Douglas James Cottrell. Yes, go ahead, Mark. What do you see?
Yeah. So what I'm seeing is a serving platter, and it's an off-white, and there's a small lip that goes around the exterior of the serving platter, so the food wouldn't fall off.
And I wow, that's pretty specific.
I see some type of design, maybe like a small like leaf or flower that. Not too many, but just enough to give it a slight decor.
Okay, that's very detailed. We're just about out of time here, Douglas. So what is the hidden object?
Okay, well, first of all, that serving platter is in the next room. We're underneath or by my plants. That's a room away, if that's what he's describing.
Oh, well done. Okay.
How
the actual object?
You said. Say it again, Richard. Say it again.
Spherical shape, yellowish white, mainly smooth with some dimples. And then I thought maybe a grapefruit.
Okay. Ta-da. Very, very good. It's an orange.
An orange?
Wow. And with the light on the top of it, it's kind of yellowishy white. And when you see the pictures, maybe the control room can show you the pictures now, or they're going to put it up on the website soon. That was astounding. 99%. I'm going to give you 100% because it looks like a grapefruit. It's just a little smaller.
And all right. I'm delighted. I am delighted, actually. Douglas, stay put. We'll come back and we'll do some predictions and prophecies for 2022 right here on Coast to Coast AM. Wow.